I'm Stephanie Overbuck.
I'm Mel Wymore.
And this is Pot of Gold.
Time is our most precious resource. Most of us have to trade it away for money so we can support ourselves or our families, buy food, pay rent. But not all of our time goes to the economy. Lots of people do all kinds of care or volunteer work to support people in their communities. That work never gets recognized. So what if the time spent helping others could be repaid when we need it the most?
In this episode, we are speaking with Gernot Jochen Müller, a social entrepreneur who's worked to establish a Zeitpolster, which is a time cushion in English, in Austria. Volunteers who give their time to care work through Zeitpolster earn hours that can be redeemed for future service from the network. We asked Gernot to share his experience with Zeitpolster and the value of this kind of time bank for a world that's rapidly aging.
Which we'll learn more about in our rapid fire quiz at the end of this episode.
Let's hear from Gernot.
Hello, I'm Gernot Jochen Müller. I live in Austria. I'm a father from three very nice daughters. And since more than 20 years, I work on one hand as a consultant for companies, for social organizations and the government. And also more than 20 years, I work with different kinds of money for social exchanges. And it's a very, very interesting field. I have learned many, many things about interaction from people and what's helpful and what's not helpful. And since 20 years, we work with small experiments in the field of care from old people, people with disabilities, children care. And all this experience are the base for the fund of Zeitpolster. It's an Austrian organization. Zeitpolster in English means time cushion. So you have time and you can lay in your bed and have a good situation if you get old. And you in the situation you need care and need help from others, you can take it. And what Zeitpolster's time cushion is and how we work with this, I need to tell you more about in this podcast.
Okay, wonderful. So you have been working for 20 years in managing the care of children and elder people and people with disabilities, but not in a usual way. It's using this, what you call a time cushion, right?
Yeah.
Could you explain how it works?
Yeah. So what we have done is we have organized small volunteer projects, and these volunteers give the care service to old people, to people with disabilities, and to children. Yeah, and it's the real easy care stuff. So helping by shopping in the household, doing small things, doing things in the free time, and doesn't earn money, but earn 1 hour on a time account. And if they get old, they can pay with this hour for care service. Yeah, so it's the only field people are retired can work in her own prevention.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I just wanted to, because I really like the image of the cushion. So basically, it doesn't depend on your age. You can, whether you're young or whether you're older, what you described as a volunteer is you go out and help others who need the help.
Yeah.
And then whenever I need the help, for example, I break my leg. I was in the mountains. I break my leg. And then whoever had a broken leg knows how difficult it is to go shopping.
Yeah.
I can use these, do you call them points?
Hours.
Hours. Mm-hmm. To basically ask to the system for help And I do not spend a dollar. Yeah. I use my hours. That's correct.
Yes. That's the point. That's the point. But we live in Austria and we have a strong, strong legal base. Yeah. So that means on the legal base in Austria, you are as a volunteer work. And later, if you get old, you say, at this moment, I don't care others. I need care. When you can spend your hours for care service. This is out of the money system. Mm. Yeah? It's more in the idea from a social insurance.
How do you account for the hours?
Yeah, this is a real, real great point. And there are different levels. So the first level is the best guarantee for this hour in this long term. So we speak about 25 years. The best case is, and the most important point is, the team, the local volunteer team, makes a good job and work very well. Yeah. So in this case, you can change your hours later one to one. Yeah. And this is the most important point. But we have a secure net. Yeah. And this is money. So at the moment, 1 hour care service costs €8. So half of them is for the costs for the organization. Yeah. The other half we put on a saving account. So if you work in the next 10 years with time cushion, you have 1,000 hours and €4,000 on the saving account. And if we don't find any person who gives you the care service you need, you can take the euros and can pay for regular care service. So it's not one-to-one per hour, yeah? But it's a possibility to say, okay, when I'm in the hospital and I have to go home and I need for the next 3 weeks care service, I can pay for this.
So the euros, they come from the Austrian government?
No. The caretaker has to pay €8 per hour.
The caretaker.
So the people who need care, yeah, don't pay 25, 40 euros for regular care service. We pay €8. Yeah. And half of them we put on the saving account.
That's smart. So, but what if they can't afford, someone can't afford €8 per hour?
Yeah. So small donations. Yeah. We have a foundation who gives us a little bit of money for this. Probably a team has a cooperation with a business, and the businessman say, okay, give you 100 hours. That's good. Take it. So we have different cases here, but it's in every single situation to find a solution. So it's not a standard thing. Yeah. But most of the people can pay this €8. Yeah. In our field here.
So, you know, over the last 20 years or 25 years, how many people have used the system?
Okay, so we have some years we have done experiments and seminars and workshops about this. And 2018, we have started as Time Cushion in this new form. Yeah. And we have in Austria, we have at the moment 12 groups with 250, 300 volunteers. Yeah. And I think 220 caretakers. So what we see is the system works, the tools are okay, the processes are okay, So we've all this tested, and now we can grow. Yeah, but in Austria, COVID is a hardcore thing for us. So I think we have in our timetable, we have lost 2 years in the development. We have to see this, but we see all the teams works very well and grow. But to start new teams at the moment is not so easy.
I think COVID put a wrench in everyone's works. You know, it's taking time out.
Mal, you ask about the money at the 8 euros. And I mean, it's when I hear 8 euros, it's a fantastic deal. Yeah. knowing a little bit about the caretaking system from my old father in Germany now, when you get 8 euros for a care which actually cares and actually has time for you and does the stuff correctly, and you know, there are all these little, I mean, it's quite a huge numbers we're talking about. When only in Europe alone, I don't know, you know, maybe in the States, I don't think it's in the States any different.
There's certainly no time cushion that I know of in the United States where you could get care for $8 an hour. But it does sound like this system engages, the benefits of this aren't just the price of the care, but it's also the engagement of the community around the intergenerational population, right? So you have younger people caring for older people, you have older people caring for other older people, you have, I feel like you're building a community, whereas perhaps in other systems, it's more transactional and less caring. And I love that aspect of this. And maybe you could speak a little bit more to that piece of what you're doing. How does it change the fabric of sense of community?
So in Middle Europe, we have to see we have a really, really great big problems with the demographic change. We have a big, big problem, but the government cannot solve this problem with money. It doesn't work because you have not so many nurses. So in Austria, we say in the next 10 years, so in Austria lives 8 million people, yeah? But in the next 10 years, we need 100,000 new nurses. So it doesn't work. Yeah, so we have to find new solutions. And one from this is time cushion to solve this problem. And what we see is if you retire, you can nothing do to have a better situation if you get old, if you need care. So it's closed. The pension system is closed. Yeah. And with time cushion, you can say, I spend my time, I help others, and then I take care of service. On the other hand, you learn so many things about, so what's happened when I get old? Yeah. So what are the problems? What are the ideas? What are the needs? What is going on? Yeah. So if you get old, most of the people around you are died in this time. Yeah. So you're very lonely. Yeah. And in time cushion, you have a network from people. You can ask, you should ask, can you help me? Yeah. And to ask other people to say, I need help. So it's really a hard thing for most of the people. Yeah. So, but in time cushion, it's very normal to say the reason to be in this network is to say, I need help. This is one point. So it must be very easy to say, I need help and to get the care service from in the neighborhood.
Did you ever get sort of a negative reaction from people, say, kind of looking maybe down the system saying, hey, I can afford real care? Did you ever get that kind of reaction?
So we have many very, very good reactions and many very critical reactions. So one is, hey, what is this from a kind of volunteering? You earn hours. that's not okay. Volunteering is without earn anything. So this is one point. A second point is organizations, volunteer organizations say, hey, this is critical. We work with volunteers and the volunteers doesn't get anything. Yeah. And if we integrate a time cushion team, yeah, we have a problem because we have volunteers with hours and volunteers without hours. So, and the next is some organizations say, we work with professional caregivers, with nurses, and so it's not okay what you do. We need a solution on the labor market. Yeah. So, and all this is not helpful because we have a big, big problem. We have to solve a big problem. This means we have to change the kind of thinking, to change the things in our mind. We need new, very new ideas to solve these social problems.
I'm particularly interested in the family bounds. We don't seem to have in Europe as strong as, for example, in Asian countries, right? And there is, I think there's a reference to the Hirakubu system in Japan. And I've heard a lot of times where people say, yeah, this can work in Japan, but it will never work in Europe because we don't have the same kind of strong connections within our families. Have you done this experience yourself? Are people really not having strong family bounds, or are we just participating because we are running out of money and the system just doesn't work for us anymore?
So it's a real good point. So we have worked with a trainer from the Sawayaka Foundation from Japan. And if Hirota was here in Vorarlberg, in this conference, we ask Hirota and say, but do you need a kind of guarantee for this hour? And she don't understand the question. And five times, people from this conference ask her. And then he wrote to say, oh, I understand. This is a question from the West culture. Yeah. So in Japan, we say the old people are so important, we have to help them. Nobody asks about the guarantee for an hour. Yeah. So, and this means we have a very different situation in middle of Europe, in every county, very different. Yeah. In Europe, I think also in the USA. And the point is we have to look at these culture moments. Yeah. So kind of organization, what kind of idea, which processes with guarantees works in this culture. Yeah. And it was a hard way to find, so, and to see, oh, in Germany something work or work not, in Italy something work not, in Japan work mostly. So in Austria, we failed. So what is the reason for this? And we have to learn this. The result is this hybrid organization model from time cushion. So to work with hours and money, yeah, to work with a very professional organization on the high level things, all for technique, marketing, legal base, database, all these things, and to organize very, very good situation for volunteering. Yeah. So, and this combination is it to help us to say, okay, this model work, we see it works, now we can grow, and now is the point. People from different country in Middle Europe come and say, oh, can we learn what you do? Can you help us to start this model? And this is the reason. So we are, since last year, we are work as a social franchise system. Yeah, we have the first franchisee is in Liechtenstein. So it's in the neighborhood. We have learned many, many things to start in this rule as a franchise model and a franchise system. And now we are on the way to other countries.
Yeah, maybe you should come to the United States too.
If there are any people who need to do this work with us, call us.
I think it would be a whole new range of failures to learn from in the United States. But let's go there another time. I do have a question about the demographics of your volunteers. Like, I see how it's advantageous as you age, you realize you're going to need help and you might want to volunteer. And I wonder if more young people get involved, or is it usually more older people who get involved? And how do you account for those differences in volunteers?
Most of the people and the target group we need to work with is 55 and more years old. Yeah. So it's the biggest group between 55 and 70 years as organization, in the organization team, and as helpers. I think the youngest woman is 26 and have a son with 4 years and do all this care service with the son, because she say we have I don't know the word. Stephanie, you said Oma?
The grandmother.
The grandma, thanks. So this woman say we have not a grandma. Yeah. My son should look old people and speak with old people and have fun with it. So
How interesting. And
it's very nice. The oldest woman who works as the helper is 86 years old and is a very tough lady who make a real good work, probably for younger women. So I save time for me. That's really impressive. Yeah.
Gernot, I have a question to you. It's more personal, because I'm talking to you and you look like maybe 50. So when you started that work, you were in your 20s, correct?
Yeah.
So you were basically a young guy who thought of this elderly care system.
No,
why?
The point is, I was 24 and we found in our county here organization with a LET system, so local exchange trading system. All people, all members in this system change goods and services on the base 100 points for 1 hour. So, and 3-4 years after starting, came a group from women in the 70s, 80s, and say, that's very nice. So we have a good network, nice people in it, but now we get old and we cannot give things back. So we need services and we cannot give things back. We cannot give some services. So we are old. What should we do? And this was the starting point to think about that there must be a solution to organize this exchange for elderly people who cannot give things back. But this is also a little bit illusion. So in the invoice for these 8 hours, 8 euros per hour, every month, we notice it's not a classical invoice. With this money, you help us to organize this system and you help another people for the prevention. Yeah, so it's your choice to help others if you use the system. And this is important. So it's not only to say, I take care of service. When I take care of service, I help other people to be part in the system and to save ours and to make this experience. But also, we are not in the situation to can do all this care work. It's not possible. So we have all our jobs. We live in different regions. So it's not possible. And this is back to your question before, Stephanie. So we have an idea, and we must see 80% of all care service to the family. Yeah, in Austria and Germany, 80% of all the care service to family members. Yeah, and only 20% is done from professionals.
That is actually quite surprising to me, quite frankly. It's a lot higher than I expected. I thought it was a lot lower.
And this is the point. So we have to organize this in a new way.
Yeah, it's kind of like, Airbnb or rideshare programs, right? So each family used to be its own care unit, right? Taking care of itself. And now what you're doing is taking that excess capacity of care in a particular family that distributes across a much larger community. So it's actually there. It's actually very similar to one of these ideas of that are coming forward now in the world. We're sharing resources. And in this case, we're sharing matching, excess care capacity against excess care need, right? And then going over time. It's really cool. It's a fantastic idea.
So let's come to a last question. What is really close to your heart, Gernot, you would really, really like to bring out to our listeners?
I'm one of the Ashoka Fellows. Yeah. So I'm one of the change makers in this world. So and it's real important for everybody. You have a situation and you can change it. Yeah, do it. Don't sleep for this. Do it. Change your mindset. Change your skills, and do the things you like to do.
Well said. Very wise. Okay, Steph, now it's time for our rapid quiz, rapid fire quiz. This is a new part of our episode, right? You ready? I'm going to ask you a question. Here we go. What portion of adult life is spent beyond the age of 65 today?
And what portion of your life?
Yes. What portion of your life is spent after the age of 65?
I don't even understand the question. So...
Okay, so let's say you have a life, you have a whole life, and what percentage of that life is spent after you're turned 65? What proportion of your life is considered
old? In terms of length, or in terms of quality, or in terms of what I do, or
percentage of time?
I think most people, I don't know. I guess. In Europe, we have only two places where you're expected to get older than 80, really. Well, the chances are pretty high to like hit 90. But other than that.
Do you want to know the answer?
Do you know the answer? I don't know the answer.
Of course, our producer is brilliant and just gave me the answer, Riley Paul. It is about a quarter or more in most developed countries. That's up from less than a fifth in the 1960s. So we're getting older and older, and you can expect to spend one-fourth of your life after you turn 65.
Okay, well, can I say something?
Sure. It's not very rapid fire, but of course.
Okay, well, that was not a rapid fire. Well, maybe this is too negative. I'm not sure. You know, I think this is a statistic. It's great that, you know, we have medical care. We are getting older. But are we getting happier No, I'm serious. I mean, this is based, this is part of the discussion, right? And this is, and how do we get old? That is actually, I think this is a much more interesting question. How do we actually get old? What do we need to do in order to get old?
Yeah, I think that.
And then why would we actually like to keep on getting older? And I know a lot of people want to, and they, you know, there are even this research on how to replace all your body parts, because your body parts basically fall apart, up some, you know, start falling apart, and then how to replace an eye and, you know, all of these things. And then maybe replace you as a robot, and how to, like, you know, kind of catches your mind, and so your mind kind of lives on. And it comes to a point where it's like, I personally don't want that. But I know that a lot of people would love to, like, live forever.
Well, it seems to be going in that direction. According to the statistics, we're getting older and older, and more of our life is spent in, you know, kind of quote unquote, a senior state, right? Okay, you ask me, this is rapid fire. It's not like slow, ongoing 12-hour conversation after the first rapid
question. No, I'm sorry. Okay, well, whatever. I'll just hop along. So, Mel, in 2019, 703 million, or 1 in 11 people, were over the age of 65. What do you think that number will be by the year 2050?
Ooh, wow. That's a really good... I would say 1 in 5 or 1 in 4. 1 in 5. So 20%.
Now, by 2050, it is expected that 1 in 6 people, which is 1.5 billion, will be over the age of 65.
Okay, well, I was close. I mean, that's not...
Yeah. Well, close is still not...
Okay, here's one for you, Steph. In which regions of the world is the age demographic changing most rapidly?
Europe and Singapore.
Half right. Well, actually, yeah, half right. So Eastern and Southeastern Asia, which includes Singapore, where the population over 65 doubled from 6% to 11% in the last 30 years, basically from 1990 to 2019, okay? But also in Latin America and the Caribbean, the population over 65 went from 5% to 9% in that same 30 years, so, or 29 years. So Europe is not in that group, but Singapore is, and also Latin America and the Caribbean. So we're seeing a lot of people living a lot longer in these interesting areas. Or maybe they were dying a lot earlier before, and now they're just catching up with the rest of the world.
Exactly. That's what I wanted to say. You know, I think it has to do with the improvement of the medical care system.
Yeah, probably so.
And food resources, medical care. I mean, I don't want to say that the development is always good. I mean, I think we should keep Aborigines where they are and keep them safe from us. Okay. I know you're smiling. I mean it, you know, I mean.
I get it. So, but like all these questions, these wonderful rapid fire questions are showing us that programs like Zeitpulse or Time Cushion could become very, very relevant in our future, because so many of us will require some level of care for a large portion of our life, and or also be able to give some portion of care to people in our life, you know, right? Is that, it's kind of the point of all of this.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Like there is absolutely a need. At least I think we should maybe focus on, let's say, the Western, what we call modern cultures, you know, sort of Western culture. And at the same time, we have to criticize, I think, ourselves, saying that getting old is seen as something bad. I would generally say it's not seen to be generally good. You know, we always want to be younger. We always want to be fit and I don't know what. And like a woman starting 40s kind of, I have it so often in my friendships where you know, there is this desire to just stay young. And I always wonder why, because actually it's quite beautiful to get older and wiser. Well, sometimes that's not included, but, you know, And I think that that is a cultural, kind of a cultural setting where we should sort of think of how to treat ourselves maybe a little bit more gentle when we are getting older.
Well, we could take on some of the more Eastern kind of social conventions of really honoring and respecting age. And I think that is, you know, I can honestly say I've been alive almost six decades, and each decade has been more satisfying than the last one for various reasons. Once I settle into it, you know, there's a grieving process, I think, of aging, where you grieve some things that are no longer possible for you, you know, whether that's, you know, a certain kind of job or having a certain kind of family or running a certain number of miles or whatever it is, those things fall away, but new things open up, new qualities, new perspectives, new relationships, new insights and awareness. And I think, you know, that process is a natural one. And I love this idea of, you know, as we age, acknowledging, first of all, when we're younger, being able to serve others who are aging. And then when we're older, being able to connect with younger people who are serving us.
But that's not, sorry that I interrupt you there, Mel, but that's not really what's happening in, for example, in our cities. I think we are more and more segregated from each other, right? We almost have no contacts to our neighbors, for example, anymore.
But isn't that what Gernot is saying? He's saying, like, this program, this Zeitposter program, could connect us.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing, that we have to invent a sort of some kind of currency to, like, reconnect people, right? So his system is not just of helping, by the way, not just elderly people, but you can also break your leg when you're young and need help, because young people sometimes even have the same kind of problematic, that you're not as integrated or not as connected as maybe you used to be. You know, we have a lot of people who are in our cities for 1-2 years. I mean, the whole contract system has changed, right? So we have a lot less longer contracts. People are staying in one place a lot less time. So those people are a lot less integrated in communities. So you simply don't know each other anymore. Or it's very hard to actually get to know each other.
But I actually do think we're going toward a more localized way of living. I think the age of the jet set is kind of coming to an end, and local life is going to become more important. I mean, that's my prediction, but my own experience is that there's a lot more fulfillment in that community connection if you have the structure in place to connect. Green markets and community board meetings. And
is this because you just discovered all of this in 1 year of Corona?
Hey, I've always been in the community.
Yeah, but the green market you discovered.
Well, the green market is a new dimension of my life.
It's actually really nice where I live, you know, and I have all these contacts. It's really nice. We don't need to travel anymore.
Well, I still love to travel, but I do love the idea of kind of having a home and those connections around that home. C'est bon?
We are an independent, listener-supported podcast.
For the price of one latte per month, you can help fuel our work and keep our content untainted by commercial interests.
For more exclusive content, join us on patreon.com or click donate on potofgold.world.
Thanks to our producer, Riley Paul. I'm Mel Wymore.
And I'm Stephanie Overbeck.
Thanks for listening.